Yeah, anybody.
Wait, you're back?
No, 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 I went to corporate.
Oh.
And then I came back to Pennsylvania, then I retired a few years ago.
So was that in Jersey?
Yeah, I didn't move.
Oh, okay.
I was just traveling all over the country. It was interesting, right?
I'm not gonna be here for the football, because I'm leaving after that.
A little bunch of.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything from Lindsay, so I assume she's coming.
I didn't see anything either, she usually comes in right at six.
It might be, I gotta get out sick over there, so I can't be, if I get trapped up in the process.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys make a good.
Yeah, yeah, I'll.
Well, and I don't know how I didn't catch the.
Yeah, it's gonna be bizarre, though.
Oh, yeah, I mean, the only one really important was or versus and.
Yes. And I was like, but I looked at that, I'm like, how did I get this person in there?
Yeah, and it's, yeah, what is it like? As we say, how from their micro distillery. So I'm learning into what can be like.
Yeah, I was wondering if you were, if Tom was gonna call in, so.
Yeah, I guess he could come for just a few minutes.
Yeah. Am I doing wrong here?
I don't know, looks like it should go in there. Just need a little.
From the right angle?
Yeah.
I'll give Lindsay a minute.
Wait, we have just a few minutes.
That clock's always off. Yeah, I have 5:57.
My cell phone and my computer clocks are different, and I would have thought they would be the same.
I always rely on my cell phone, because that I know is, unless I'm someplace where you have no service.
Well, I set my stop or alarm clock sometimes to remember to make a phone call. And they never match, so I never know when I'm supposed to call.
I got three for you.
Do you have the decision?
I do.
Decision.
Yeah, I didn't have anybody sign them yet.
Hmm, okay. Well, I think it's, oh, yeah. You know, do you want to have Tom sign this one quick?
Yeah, because he's gonna be leaving.
Yep, so you can get out of here later. All right, the January 18th, 2023 meeting of the Derry Township Zoning Hearing Board is called to order. I want to make everybody aware that it is and has been the policy of Derry Township to record meetings for the purpose of accurate notes and posting on the township website. This meeting is being recorded for those purposes. We'll do a roll call of members. Mike Angelo.
Here.
Tom DeDonatis.
Here.
Lindsay Drew.
Here.
Bill Tifudo.
Here.
And Steve Seidel, that's me, I'm here as well. So we're all here. Okay. First, may I have a motion to approve the minutes of the December 21st, 2022 meeting minutes?
I make a motion.
Thank you, Tom. Have a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
Just for the record, I'll abstain from all of the votes on the new
business as well as the minutes, just because I was not here for that meeting.
Okay, thank you, Lindsay. And welcome to Bill, who's a new member to the, so he also, you will be voting on the minutes and the business from last meeting as well. Okay, so all in favor of approving those minutes?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, those are approved. All right, our next order of business is reorganization, determining our chairman, vice chairman, and vice chair, and secretary. So I'll certainly willing to step aside if someone else wants to take over the chair. I'm also willing to continue, but I'll accept any nominations.
Steve, I think you're doing a fine job, and I'd like to nominate you to stay on as our president.
I'll second that nomination.
Okay, thank you. Any other nominations? Okay. I guess we'll take these one at a time. I think we've typically done that in the past, Megan.
Yep.
So all in favor of that motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Thanks for the vote of confidence, and hope you keep serving the board well. How about as far as vice chair now? Sandy was our vice chair, so this is, I guess I'll look for nominations or look for interest, I guess, from any board members who are willing to step into that role.
I'm not going to take any positions at this time, so it's down to...
Okay. Is there anybody who's interested in doing that position?
I'd like to nominate Tom Tudenatis.
I accept.
I think that's a good nomination. All right. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Tom, thanks for stepping up for that. How about secretary? You willing to?
I would be willing to. I would be willing to continue.
Okay, well, I'll nominate Lindsay to continue as secretary.
I'll second.
Okay.
You don't have to have the stare down of chicken.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're all set then. All right, so we don't have to play musical chairs here tonight. Okay, so we have two items of old business. And again, Lindsay and Bill will not be voting on these since they were not at the hearings for those two matters. The first one, make sure I have these in order. The first one is adoption of a decision in the case of Stephanie Tuccio, case number 2022-15. I will read the substantive portion of the order. The applicant's request for a variance from section 225-401.4.f.b, table 36, regarding the maximum sign area of a wall sign is granted. The applicant may install the proposed giant wall sign that measures no more than 79.66 square feet. And that we did confirm that that site. I think
yes.
There was a question about that. Okay. So I'll make a motion to adopt this order.
So moved.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. That passes 3-0. Okay. Second order of old business is adoption of a decision in the case of Matthew R. Luttrell, case number 2022-16. The proposed order is number one, the applicant's request for a variance from section 225-402.2.b regarding entering the public street in a forward direction is granted. The application may construct 7 head-in parking spaces. Can I ask for a motion to adopt that?
I'll make a motion.
Okay, I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mike. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? I'm opposed. That passes 2-1. Okay. All right, so new business. We have one hearing tonight, hearing in the case of Dwayne Morris, case number 2022-17. Are you Mr. Morris?
Yes.
Please come to the podium. Are you, is there anyone else going to be testifying in addition to yourself tonight?
No.
Okay. Great. We need to swear you in first, so the court reporter, if you'd state your full name and address.
Dwayne Anthony Morris, 117 West Governor Road, Hershey, Pennsylvania, 17033. I do.
Okay, thank you. But maybe before you get started, let me just ask the other board members a question, because I know you had submitted a narrative more recently than the application. So did everyone see that?
Yes.
Everyone see that? Okay, great. So you can assume that we've seen your application and seen the narrative as well. So please, you know, but summarize, you know, the key points of your request. Okay. And then we may have some questions for you.
Okay. I'm hoping to install a manufactured home in my backyard of my residence. It would be for my granddaughter to live in. I've had her since birth. She's 21 now, and I want to give her own space and freedom. And I have this opportunity because this lot is so big to put this manufactured home on one side of the yard against near the one fence, so she can live in there.
Okay. So I do see in your narrative you've addressed the items that are required, the requirements of a accessory dwelling unit. There'll be a few questions, I'm sure, on that. Could you maybe speak a little bit more to the requirements for a special exception? Maybe talk a little bit about, in particular, the three items. It will not adversely affect the health or safety of residents in the neighborhood and districts. You said because, but just please elaborate on how this fits in or doesn't fit in with the neighborhood. And that it won't be detrimental to the use or development of the neighborhood character or quality of life.
Okay. I think you were talking about the first three things under B2.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Just speak a little bit.
My property already has a 6-foot white fence around it because I have a swimming pool. Okay. And so this manufactured home would be, of course, inside of that. It doesn't go up very high. I don't see how it would create any kind of hardship for anyone. I have a gazebo that's as high as this thing's going to be. So I also have a garage back there. I'm not sure what else to say.
And you're accessing this dwelling unit the same from the same in terms of externally from the property, you're accessing it the same way that you access your home today?
You mean as far as water and electric?
Well, in terms of parking and driveway and those types of things.
Yes. My residence is on Governor, and so there's a parking lot out front there, but also in the back of this house, next to the garage, is a 3-car parking lot. So she already parks back there, and she'll just continue to park there, come through the back gate to her home.
Okay, so you already have the 3 parking spots that are required. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Okay. I have a few other questions, but I don't want to monopolize here. So do the board members have any questions?
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, they're more just things I want to just confirm so we make sure we've got the record clear. So you mentioned the heights. What is the height of this proposed structure, the accessory? Because you're doing an accessory structure, right, as opposed to attached to the house. Correct?
Yeah, I don't have those dimensions with me, but, you know, I stood next to it. It's probably 2 feet taller than me, so I'm 6 foot, so I'd say 8 feet. I do know that it's 44 feet long. We looked at trying to get a longer one. That was a couple of bedrooms, but it was just too, it was, I would have had to move a gazebo, and so it's 44 feet long, and it's not very wide.
But it's less than 20 feet tall, including the foundation above grade.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. That's one of the requirements of a accessory structure. Okay. Okay. Yeah, David, I think, have you, I think other than the height, I think you had verified the other dimensions as being within the requirements? Lot size, et cetera?
Yes, this...
Hold on, let me turn mine off in case.
The property does meet all the dimension requirements set out by the section regarding accessory dwelling units from the ordinance. It does have the minimum lot size required. The accessory dwelling unit is less than 50% of the floor area of the main structure. So in that regard, it does meet all dimensional requirements for an accessory dwelling unit to be placed on the property.
Okay, great. Now, I think, was there a question about the pool and the way that's treated in terms of impervious coverage and what is or isn't required for that?
Yes, so speaking to the contractor who's not here, he was informed that in order to have the impervious coverage needed to put this in, that the pool overflow system would have to be hooked to the sewer. And he said that that was being done at the same time as the sewer hookup for the new mobile home that's being placed back there. That allows us to not count the water area of the pool as impervious coverage, because instead of going to a storm sewer, it's going to the sanitary sewer line. So in cases of extreme flooding, it's not overloading an already overloaded system. It's going to a separate
Okay. And Mr. Morris, you understand that is a requirement of
I do.
Of meeting the dimensions? Okay, great. And then was there also any issues as far as the pool in terms of like protection or a barrier or whatever?
So the pool spa code requires a barrier to be placed around the pool. The placement of this accessory dwelling unit would be inside the barrier. The applicant would have two main options. One would be to alarm every door and window of the accessory dwelling unit with code compliant door alarms. Or they could create a new barrier inside their existing fence to act as a new pool barrier. Speaking as a department, we prefer the new barrier. However, we are okay with the alarms. It's just looking at the specs for the proposed accessory dwelling unit, they're looking at upwards of 10 separate alarms, which anytime a window's open, the alarm will have to be turned off, anytime the door opens. So it just seems more cumbersome. However, if they meet the code, we're okay with it.
Okay, do you have you talked to your contractor about, or have you made arrangements for one or the other of those two options? And
yeah, we talked about that. We're gonna go with the alarm system for the doors and windows.
Okay.
And I've already started researching. I was provided with an actual model and type, so I'm already looking into that.
Okay. All right. So yeah. So you have a barrier. You have a current barrier, but it's a barrier versus where the house and neighbors are versus, is that right? Versus where this accessory building would be?
Since I'm here, I'll tell you my confusion with that. Maybe you could help me understand it. So there is a 6-foot white fence around my property.
Right.
And I think I understand why you would want another barrier separating this manufactured home from the pool, even though she's 21, but I not bad. It doesn't matter because someone else could live in there. Well, not someone else, but like if she had a kid or something. But here's my question. What if this property was twice its size and this manufactured home was even further from the pool? Is there like a distance?
Now, the pool and spa code requires all pools to have a barrier. It doesn't state a specific distance that the barrier needs to be within X amount of feet of the pool. Yeah. Just that anything inside the pool area, such as even French doors on the house, would need to be alarmed by today's standards. So with this addition of accessory dwelling unit, you're required to meet the pool and spa code, even though it's an existing pool with an existing barrier, because there's new access and means of egress into that barriered area, they would have to be alarmed.
Okay.
Or a new barrier would have to be set.
Okay, fair enough. Like I said, I'm already looking into it. I'm going to definitely take care of that.
Yeah, okay, great. Go ahead, Mike.
This might be a question for David, but what happens if you know, when Mr. Morris were to move out of the property, is there something that needs to be recorded at the courthouse that states that this can't be used for a residential use, or what happens with this property when if it were to sell?
So point 12 of the 12th requirement for accessory dwelling units is that applicants agree to execute a recordable agreement between themselves and the township, and that agreement would state that once this specific approved special exception expired, say his granddaughter moved out, he would have a certain amount of time to remove it from the property. It would not be something that transfers now and then becomes a grandfathered second dwelling unit on the site. It is an approved accessory dwelling unit specific to the use presented here.
So it would have to be removed. Is that what you're, it's
oh, so
can't
like,
be
so
turned
like,
into a rental.
So another property. Relative couldn't be in it? Because I have my daughter and other granddaughter live in my home.
Yes, I'm sorry, let me rephrase. As long as the requirements are still met, it would not be able to be rented to somebody not related.
Gotcha.
But as long as it was maintaining its use as an accessory dwelling unit specific to this hearing, then it would be.
Okay.
And no compensation or anything, money can change hands or anything like that. Is that part of this, as far as like a being viewed as a rental property?
No. So the ordinance allows for people who live in accessory dwelling units to compensate or not to compensate, and the township is not involved in that aspect of the.
Okay.
And just for clarification. If it is a blood relative or by marriage relative, then that satisfies the requirement. The compensation is just if it is someone that is not a blood relative living in the accessory dwelling to provide care or housekeeping services or that type of thing, correct?
Right.
So as long as it would be a blood relative and the property is still under Mr. Morris's ownership, the recordable agreement, so long as all of the conditions are met, would not need additional approval by this board?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not approved as a rental unit to just anyone in the general public. That's the bottom line, I think, on this.
Yeah. But relief will not need to be granted if it were not your granddaughter, but another blood relative.
Correct.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? And maybe last question, David. I think it's probably a pretty obvious one, but I didn't review the package of all the details of the construction. I assume the township will or has been or is reviewing those in terms of one of the requirements is that it meets all other, you know, building code requirements.
Yes.
And that this modular structure does comply with those codes.
Yes, it is actually through our building review. It is now in the permitting process. We do the building review and the zoning review separate. The building review has been completed. Now we are just waiting for the granting of a special exception or the denial before the zoning can act on the permit.
Right. Okay, great. Thank you, David.
I'm sorry, I did have a question.
Yes.
I just wanted to confirm for the record, Mr. Morris. So you're testifying that the ordinance does not permit more than two people to occupy the accessory dwelling unit. Your testimony is that there's one person who is a blood relative that will be occupying that and not at any more time more than that.
That's correct.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Mr. Morris or David, can you just confirm for the record what the lot size of the property is? As your narrative had said, it was less than 9,000 square feet. I think it is more.
The lot size is 16,500 square feet.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, good catch. I flagged that one.
I just have one question. I apologize if I missed it. I didn't see a plan view showing the position of the structure. And that's in it? Okay, so it's showing it meets setbacks.
Correct.
Okay, I missed that in the pages. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Okay. All right. Is there anyone from the public that wishes to testify? Okay, hearing none. So the board has 45 days to render a decision, and you have 60 days thereafter. 60. Thank you. 30 days thereafter to appeal if you're aggrieved in any way.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your testimony tonight.
Yep, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Where that 60 came from. Okay. Any other business? Okay, any other business? No, hearing none, do I have a motion? I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, we stand adjourned. Encourage people to sign in.